We're in the book of Zechariah again this morning in the 11th chapter. Want to read the verse 15 through verse 17. Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that which that is broken, nor feed that which standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his right arm, upon his arm, and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Father, again we bow to thank you for the word of God and its promises. These are your promises. You have told us, not only in this portion of scripture, but in many others, you've already told us the plan. You've already purposed the victory. You've already purposed the defeat of your enemy, Satan. And we're grateful for this. I ask you that you'll help us to live in great victory and great confidence, because you yourself will get the victory. Bless the scriptures to our hearts. Help me, O Father, be an encouragement to your people here, even though we look at a dark passage. And we ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. We know that war was initiated between God and Satan at his rebellion and at the rebellion of Adam and Eve. God had promised there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 the coming of the seed of the woman that would deliver the death blow to the seed of the serpent. In both the Old Testament and New Testament, there is a beautiful picture of that deliverer who is presented as the coming prophet and priest and king and shepherd. That's why we read Psalm 23 here this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. The sad truth is that Israel rejected their Messiah, this one that was prophet and priest and king and shepherd. They rejected the Messiah and have and will continue to suffer the consequences of their choice as a nation. Parallel to the promises of a gracious Messiah are the warnings of a very malicious enemy. Satan sought to pollute and to destroy the possibility of that godly seed that he had promised, the seed of the woman. That seed through that was to come through that chosen human family. We call them Israel, the Jewish people. But God intervened, as you know, at every attempt that Satan had to pervert that work of the Lamb that would be slain on Calvary's Hill, that would seal Satan's ultimate defeat. Over and over again through the scriptures, there is an attempt by Satan to destroy that opportunity for this Redeemer that was promised to come as the seed of the woman. Satan's judgment is sure. and Israel's judgment for rejecting their shepherd merged together in God's great prophetic plan. Here in the book of Zechariah, the prophecies in chapters 9 and 10 tell of their coming king and their coming shepherd. However, in chapter 11, it reveals the rejection of their shepherd. And the introduction that we have just read here in these verses 15 to 17 of this foolish shepherd. Terrible words to read. And they only introduce, they do not magnify or give great definition. It is the greater definition of this foolish shepherd that we're going to look at here today. Who is this foolish shepherd and what will he do? Well, our scripture is very clear in this 15th verse. We read it again. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Now, you may remember that previous to this, it seems that God had given command to Zechariah to lead a small, maybe small flock of sheep, and he takes up his staff. In verse 7 of this 11th chapter, it says, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. So, we understand this is Zechariah doing just what God gave him, told him to do. He took a staff in his hand, two staffs, beauty and bands, and he's got a small flock, and he's guiding that flock to the temple for slaughter. All of them are marked to be slain. When he arrives there, he gives commandment to Zechariah to break those very staffs as an act of judgment against the sheep. And of course, it's all a picture of what God was going to do. He was going to break his relationship with Israel for a time. But he had made so many promises before. He made promises before this. He tells how he's going to gather them back, going to bring them to Jerusalem, going to unite them as a people one more time. But not before they enter into a terrible season of distress. And it would be because they had rejected their very Messiah. In fact, they had not only rejected him, but they actually sold him in this 12th verse of this same chapter. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they didn't consider him of value, and they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. The very price that Judas sold the Lord Jesus and betrayed him for. So you see, here is the prophetic word that God gave. And as a result of them rejecting the good shepherd, John chapter 10, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So if you reject the good shepherd, what would you anticipate to come in place of the good shepherd? Well, God tells us right here. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Interestingly enough, the word foolish in the Hebrew, Eveli, almost sounds like our word in the English meaning evil. So this word foolish means silly. The root of it has the idea of that is absolutely perverse. Hold your place here in Zechariah. We'll see it in the book of Job. I want you to turn to the book of Job, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Job chapter 5. Job 5, verses 1 through 4. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killed the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. The description here is of those that are foolish. Well, here we have the description in Zechariah of a foolish shepherd. Here, twice mentioned, I have seen the foolish taking root. How about you? Have you run across in the course of your life some foolish people who took root? They made foolish decisions. They produced foolish children. They brought about foolish endings in their life. Well, here is the description. You have a foolish shepherd that God is going to bring about. Turn with me also to the very chapter that our brother Brandon has been dealing with. I want you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse 17. We have the same word here again. Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Brother Brandon made great emphasis of that, as should be. What tragedy foolish people bring upon themselves when they disregard God's word. What can you expect? If you violate the word of God, if you violate the principles of truth that God has given. Just take the Ten Commandments. What happens when you violate the laws of the Ten Commandments? If you set up some other God rather than the God of heaven, then you have introduced confusion to your mind. If you make an image as representing God, you have introduced something foolish to your mind. If you take God's name in vain and mock Him by His name, you have introduced a foolish action to yourself, because God says, if you take His name in vain, He will not forget it. He'll remember that you have violated His name. If you mock a day of rest, you'll pay the consequences. If you kill, if you steal, if you lie, if you commit adultery, if you covet, all these things that you add to your own misery, you mark yourself as a fool. So indeed, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. This foolish shepherd, of course, has had many before it. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, if you would. Jeremiah, chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6 reads, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." What did the shepherds do? What did these evil shepherds accomplish? They allowed the sheep that were lost to remain lost. Whatever their needs were, the lost shepherds of Israel, whether they were the kings or the priests or the prophets, instead of caring for the sheep, supplying for the sheep, sustaining the sheep, what did they do? They let them go. Isn't that exactly what we read here in this passage of Zechariah chapter 11? The 16th verse will repeat the very same thing. But that was not only in the Old Testament that you would have shepherds that would be evil. Do you remember in the book of Acts when the apostle Paul came through Ephesus? He gathered the elders together with him and said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." I'm reading from Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So, the false shepherds of the Old Testament are going to continue right on into the New Testament. What will mark them? Well, they just don't care for the flock. And they'll divide the flock and seek to subdue the flock. Paul mentions it a second time. I'm reading to you from the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13 to verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." As Brother Brandon's been going through the book of Jude, we recognize the apostasy of the last days. Evil men that will step into the pulpit and they will not spare the flock. It will be all about them, all about their prestige, all about their words. We see it in the cults, but we can also find it at times in our fundamental churches, where the emphasis is on the pastors, on the leadership, rather than the person of Christ. But come back with me now to Zechariah and chapter 11. Let's also pick up the thought here in this 15th verse that says, "Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd." But now, we don't know what these are. What are the instruments? Now, the previous instruments had been the two staves, beauty and bands. But whatever these instruments are, we're not told. But I think that we're going to have some sense of it by what we examine in this 16th verse. And I say so, these instruments that are described here, mentioned here in verse 15, let's think about the instruments of verse 7. I took two staves, one beauty, the other bands, and I fed the flock. Now, if we simply think of those two, guidance and good, that is what essentially you would consider the shepherd's guidance and care for the flock. Even though this flock, of course, is going to be taken to slaughter because of their rejection of the shepherd, nonetheless, if we think in terms of the foolish shepherd taking up instruments, they're going to be and ultimately work out to be the very opposite. Would that be correct? Am I thinking correctly in that? If you're going to have a good shepherd and he's going to be using his staves as beauty and bands, that is for guidance and that is for good. What's going to be the opposite of that? What would the foolish shepherd be carrying? Well, it's going to be the opposite of that. So that's where we pick up verse 16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. First of all, we make notice here, this is God's plan. Notice what it says in verse 16, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd, a false shepherd, a foolish shepherd, an idle shepherd, as verse 17 says. All of this is in God's plan. It is all part of God's purpose. What is it? Why does he permit this? Because they rejected him. They turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered himself there on the week before, what we call Palm Sunday, just as the scripture in Zechariah had declared. Look at back at chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And this is who they rejected. I said, we'll not have him. He's not who we want. In fact, we'll sell him for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. What are the consequences of that? They end up with a foolish shepherd. And what will the instruments of that foolish shepherd be? Well, it'll not be to guide them. It'll not be to bless them. It'll not be to help them. It'll be to be cruel to them. Hold your place here in Zechariah and turn with me to the book of Daniel. We'll start in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, I want to simply read the scriptures to you. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Daniel 7:23 says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. What is he like? And he shall speak great words against the Most High." Do you know who we're talking about? We are talking about the very same foolish shepherd that you are reading about in Zechariah chapter 11. Mark now the description. Zechariah, God does not give Zechariah the description. He's going to give the description of this foolish shepherd to Daniel. Verse 25. "For he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." That would be 3.5. Time 1, times 2, and the dividing of time, 1/2. 3.5. "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the heaven, whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cognitions much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Daniel says, "What was just revealed to me is overwhelming and disturbing, because there's someone that is going to come, and he is going to be ruthless." How ruthless? Look at chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. Again, we are reading the description of the foolish shepherd found in Zechariah 11. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes." Who is that? The Lord Jesus. "And he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days." Daniel says, "I fainted at this." Who are we talking about? What time period are we talking about? Well, first of all, our scripture tells us that this is going to come towards the end, in the latter time. When is this foolish shepherd going to show up? And who is he and what is he going to be and what is he going to do? We're reading about it. He's going to be arrogant, but he's going to be powerful. And he is going to wear out the saints. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9. On the basis that Israel has violated God's law, the 24th verse reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do what? To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, that would be under Nehemiah, unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, the very one that we've been reading about in chapter 7, chapter 8, could also be in this passage called the foolish shepherd. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So, Rome had come to power. Rome would destroy Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Jews would be scattered, and they have been scattered until 1948. But this same foolish shepherd, this very one that we have read of in chapter 7 and chapter 8 and now in chapter 9, will have a personification of himself. He will stand out, verse 27 of chapter 9, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, that time, times, and half a time, and in the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You have a false shepherd. Now come back with me to the book of Zechariah. The very individual that we have been reading about is here described as the foolish shepherd. But here we see him in verse 16 as the false shepherd. Well, what are his instruments? Well, they're just the opposite of the character of a good shepherd. Verse 16 says God's going to raise him up. Why? Because of Israel's rejection of the good shepherd. And what will he do? What will be his instruments? Well, here it is. First of all, he shall not visit those that be cut off. Just the opposite of the shepherd who had his staves of beauty and bands. So he'll not visit those that are cut off. He'll have he'll not observe, he'll not care for those that are perishing. In fact, he'll promote it. Second of all, the scripture says here, neither shall he seek the young. Well, what is just indicative of the young? Those that wander away. The little ones that wander from the flock. Does he have any concern for them? No, because he is the opposite of the good shepherd. He is a foolish shepherd. He is a false shepherd. He'll not attempt to gather in those that wander. Thirdly, he will not heal the broken. He'll nor heal that is broken. Well, that's very simple. Those that have been injured and are in need of care of the shepherd. Well, no, not this foolish shepherd. Not this false shepherd. The one that is described by Daniel as being malicious and wearing out the saints. What are the instruments of this foolish shepherd? We're reading them. The fourth thing that is mentioned here, those that even are standing, he says he'll nor feed that standeth still. In other words, those that have some measure of strength. He has no interest in providing food for them so that they might continue to stand and be healthy. So you understand the picture here? Israel has rejected their good shepherd. Israel has sold him for 30 pieces of silver. The consequences of that are going to be terrible. Daniel describes the nations that would rise up after that of Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, then Greece, then Rome. And then finally, at the end, there would be one that would come out of that fourth kingdom who would speak great swelling words. And he'll make a covenant. And he is this foolish, false shepherd. He will be devilish rather than a blessing. Notice what it says here. Instead of doing the positive things that you would anticipate the shepherd to do, which we've just looked at, it says, but in contrast to that, those are his instruments. He'll not do these things, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. He'll devour the flock. Isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul said that would occur? Even in God's church, through the church age, and it has been exactly so. There have been wolves that have found their way in among the flock. What characterized them? The very things that we see here in this 16th verse. These that transform themselves into ministers of light when they are in reality Satan's servants. But the point of it is, if you can see those things happening. Now the Jewish people, what did they think of this? How do the Jewish commentators, who do they think this is? Well, they conclude that this was Herod. They see him as betraying the Jewish people, which ultimately brought about their demise there by the Romans in 70 AD. That's who they think this is. The only problem of it is, while Rome did clearly destroy, and Herod clearly did not care for the people, he is by no means the full description of what we read there in the book of Daniel. He will be very devilish. He'll devour the flock. He'll eat the very last little bit of morsel, even to tear their claws in pieces. So we have the foolish shepherd. We have this false shepherd. But verse 17 says, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The idle shepherd. The word there means that is worthless. nothingness, useless. Here is the word that is used here, woe to the idle shepherd. He is absolutely of no value. Yet, what did we read there in Daniel? He's going to step forward and he's going to destroy many by peace. He will be of no value to the Jewish people, though he will present himself as such. And by peace, the scripture says there in Daniel 8:25, shall he'll destroy many. But God doesn't leave it there, does he? He makes it very clear that this foolish shepherd, this false shepherd, this idle shepherd will himself be destroyed. And the scripture says, the sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. His defeat is clear. What defeat? God's promised that defeat. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11 reads, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, otherwise known as the false shepherd, the foolish shepherd, the idle shepherd. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What are the consequences of Israel rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ? They're grave. They're terrible. Israel has suffered immensely. And the book of Zechariah is going to continue to talk about that. What a terrible price to pay for the soul that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel has suffered immensely. Time and time again, they have had an enemy that has risen up, and in a terrible way has sought to slaughter the Jewish people. And you know today, just as we read Brother Frampton's prayer letter this morning, anti-Semitism is growing exponentially all around the globe. Why? There is no good reason for it. Except that mankind is drawing closer and closer to his ultimate encounter of rebellion against Almighty God in his attempt to destroy the people of Israel. It's coming. Another great disaster for Israel is looming. And it's going to come at the hands of this very one that we've read about. It is not a great description in the book of Zechariah. We have to come to the other portions of Scripture to pull in and to see the full picture. It is a sad thing in reality for us to consider that the Bible would even use the term shepherd for this individual. But he will be a foolish shepherd, a pretender. And the ultimate reality of him will cause great harm and hurt to the Jewish people and to this world. Finally, turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, the foolish shepherd, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Where in the world did Daniel get this idea? From the very passages of Scripture that we have read to you out of the book of Daniel and out of the book of Zechariah. And now ye know, verse 6, and now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We could go to 1 John, where 1 John speaks about the Antichrist, that he that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh is Antichrist. So you see, the whole spirit against God and against Christ, it's always been from the moment that Adam and Eve rebelled against God, war was initiated. But hallelujah, there's coming an end. And God Himself will defeat this enemy of mankind and of God. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, God sent his Son to his own people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And the consequences of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as defined there in Zechariah chapter 11, set Israel on the path of years of destruction and sorrow. And so, in this day of grace, those that hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say the same thing that the Jews said: we'll not have this man to rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. And what are the consequences of those from the day of the church in Acts chapter 2, the birth of the church, until these days that Paul is defining here? There have been those that have heard the gospel and rejected it. And what will the consequences be? They will be deceived by this foolish, false, idol shepherd to their own destruction. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What are the consequences? If you would understand the judgment that's coming to the Gentile nations and the Gentile world, look at the consequences to the Jewish people and the Jewish nation as a result of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their true and right Messiah. But I'm glad Paul didn't stop writing there. Verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." And now he breaks forth in prayer. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You and I have been spared by grace. Your eternal destiny has been set by God's mercy. Because what did he do for you? He had chosen you from the beginning. And how did he do that? He set you apart. You've been chosen to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God the Holy Ghost just as Jesus said in John chapter 16, he would convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And you heard that message and you believed on him. And as many as believed on him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you were born, not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You have been birthed by God. So the Lord is calling out a church. He's calling out a people. And you're part of it. What do we do in the face of this knowledge? Knowing that a terrible day of judgment is coming on this world? We warn them. We point them to the only Redeemer and the only Savior of sinners. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. There is salvation in no other. And believing him and receiving him and turning from our sins, God in his mercy saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Saved by grace. Heavenly Father, you've told us, as the word says, you know the end from the beginning. All of this has been your plan to do and finally destroy sin and death. And we praise you for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and for telling us of the power and the wickedness of this one that's coming to this world. Oh Lord Jesus, give us Holy Ghost boldness. We see all around that things are being set in motion in this world to receive this very one. Sinners want to be deceived by him. They want to believe that some man can promise peace, but he will not be that. He'll not heal those that are broken. He'll not seek those that are lost. He'll not provide. He'll do the opposite. Satan is a murderer. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've told us you're going to defeat him and this man of sin that will eventually rise and deceive the world. I want to thank you that you've delivered us from that deception. Not because we deserve it. We don't. And we want to thank you. And we don't understand that from the beginning you chose us to salvation. But we thank you. Oh God, help us to warn this world and to point them to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus. Help us, we pray. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. 413 in your hymnal. I think this is a right song for us to sing as we close today. Do you remember this one? Sound the battle cry. Stand with me together as we sing these three verses. Hymn number 413. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldier, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Now, you may not feel like a mighty throng, but I'm telling you, you're part of one, whether you see it or feel it or not. Amen?